The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where every week of every year for decades in a row now, we've been bringing you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. And today we've got something for you folks who are rental housing providers or who are not rental housing providers, because you have heard that it is just like really super hard to take care of rentals, deal with your customers. It's like going to take up your whole life if you buy a rental property, and then it's going to be a miserable life. That's none of that is true, and that's what we're setting out to at least prove to you, so you can take the next steps to actually making that happen. Just one quick announcement this evening before we get started. Tonight is the OREA Help Night, the OREA Summit Investors Help Night. This is a group that initially started out as a Facebook group of folks who had gone to the National Real Estate Summit and who wanted to continue to stay in contact and help each other and ask questions and do deals and all that sort of stuff. And then pretty quickly evolved into, oh, but we should get together once a month online too. And so that's now been going on for, well, I guess 19 months in a row. And the help nights are not, there's not a topic, there's not a lecture, it's just a topic is picked and we gather up some folks from the summit who know about that thing, and then you can come on and ask any questions that you have or just listen to what other people's questions are. The topic tonight is Notes and Mortgages Help Night, and it is, you can talk about buying and selling notes and mortgages. You can talk about, I carried back a loan and I'd like to sell it. You can just ask questions about notes and mortgages and how they work, since we use those pretty much every day in the real estate investing business. It is free. It is online. It starts at 7:30 Eastern time, and you can get your link at CincinnatiREA.com. If you're listening from out of the area, Cincinnati is spelled CincinnatiREA.com. I get emails occasionally saying, I can't get into CincinnatiREA.com, and it's got too many T's in it. It's always the problem. Cincinnati T. Nope. It's only one T at the end. So my guest today is Elizabeth Enright Phillips, who leads a very busy life, but it is not busy due to her 40 plus doors of rental properties that she manages. It's busy for a whole bunch of other way better reasons. Family, enjoying stuff, being a social media influencer, all of those sorts of things. She's going to share with us today how she makes the management of the rentals not the biggest thing in her life. She's joining us from her home in Central Ohio. Elizabeth, welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing.
Well, thank you, Vina. That is quite the intro, and I definitely appreciate it and just have to chuckle that it is a very full life, I will say, but definitely fun, and I'm excited to be here, so thank you for having me.
And I'm excited to have you, because you have taken a different path than most of the folks that I know that are rental owners, particularly owners of single-family homes. Most people either go the relatively hands-off but very expensive route of hiring a professional property manager to do all the stuff that you do and pay them 10% of the gross, not net rents, generally in order to do that. Or they become, you know, quote, self-managers, and the dealing with the tenants, dealing with the maintenance, dealing with the bookkeeping, dealing with all the stuff that comes with owning rentals takes up a humongous amount of their time relative to, you know, the size of their portfolio. So I think my first question for you is just how did you go from what you were doing before real estate to real estate to person who was doing real estate and had determined to do it in the kind of most stress-free way possible?
It's a great question, and it is definitely a journey, an adventure, if you will. We started over 22 years ago. I found our first duplex that I was jogging through the neighborhoods, training through it for a marathon. I was working in downtown Columbus at the time and loved historic homes. And this one was in need of quite a bit of love. And it had, you know, no back door. It was rotting onions in the kitchen, you know, that sort of fun. And thought we could fix that. So I do invest along with my husband, and he was on board for the ride, sold his dream classic car for the down payment, and I didn't ask him to, for the record. And we temporarily did like a live-in flip that, you know, nothing is temporary. It ended up being almost 8 years before we purchased our next property and had the vision to do that. So I did leave my corporate job downtown. I was a claims adjuster, and I had worked for real estate investors as well on the agency side. And I had taught at a business college, worked with investors, saw the ins and outs of the real estate investing world. And we had purchased a duplex, but then we stopped at our family and realized we needed another piece of the puzzle, which was private money to accelerate acquisitions and finding off-market deals. So we bought one more duplex, realized, wow, we really love this. Another duplex came along, and then my husband said, well, let's make it our full-time gig, and left his job as well. So we are both currently full-time in real estate investing, and I handle all of the long-term rentals and the property management, if you will. And I realized very quickly that as a homeschool mom of six children, it had to be fast, it had to be easy, and it had to be low stress as possible. So going from the corporate world, which was high stress, high intensity, a commute, all of those things, to being able to set my own hours and to set up systems and processes, I knew that I had to create a different path than what I saw around me in terms of having a property manager. That just wasn't going to fly because the numbers needed to work for us to be able to feed all those children. And then I knew that I couldn't do everything myself, hence, you know, the time factor. So we had to find a middle road, that what we would call a hybrid version. And that's what I'm excited to share with folks, because I think a lot of people get stuck at that same place that we did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in your current business, I know you own rentals. That's what we're going to talk about today. Is there another strategy that you do in real estate as well? Do you retail? Do you wholesale? Do you have short-term rentals?
We've done a few flips. Honestly, we don't like flipping as much as we like long-term rentals. We love the BRRRR strategy. It has worked very well throughout in different market seasons, obviously, that we have. And we've adjusted that to maybe do a slow flip to sell to a tenant buyer. We've wholesaled maybe one. We're really very singular and our focus, because we realized we wanted to be the absolute best at what we did in our particular market. And we're very racehorse focused on that, with the flexibility that whenever we come to a house, we're very aware that the house is going to tell us what strategy to use. And so we do have flexibility. We've done seller finance, we've done wholesaling, we've flipped several. But if you ask me, what do? What are we really, what's our bread and butter? It is long-term rentals.
Very good. So when we come back from the break, we are going to talk about how it is that you homeschool six kids, because I know that there's your full-time job right there, and also manage, you know, 40 plus customers that are in your rental business in so few hours a week. Also, we want to take questions from listeners about rental strategies. 877-772-9658 is the number to call if you're calling in. I need to say this every couple of weeks. I need to remember to say this every couple of weeks. If you are listening to the show live on the app or live on the radio, call 877-772-9658, 877-772-9658, because you might be listening to it on the podcast at reallifereallestate.com, in which case we're not here, so calling that number won't do any good. Also, you can send a question anytime to vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones-Cox, talking today to Elizabeth Enright Phillips about her rental business and how she manages what to a lot of people is a pretty big portfolio of single-family homes, duplexes. What are they these days, Elizabeth?
Sure. We have single-family. We have quite a few duplexes, triplexes, and fourplex. We stay four or under, and oftentimes we will buy the entire block, a city block, in our location where we invest.
That's a pretty big portfolio for the typical, quote, small real estate investor, right? Like the independent real estate investor. That's a, you know, the general thought is most people, if they have 20 to 25 paid off properties, that's enough money to, that's enough income to make them an ender, right? To make them able to live the way they want to live for their whole life without selling anything. And oftentimes that starts out with more than that because they're leveraged. You got mortgages, but then
correct,
as those start to pay off, you know, a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll sell off all but the 20 or 25 they really like, so that they can pay off the 20 or 25 they really like, and then they just go do whatever they want for the rest of their lives. You talked a little bit about your philosophy when you said, we find the deal and let the house tell us what to do, okay? But what is your like overarching philosophy about the running and management of rentals?
Well, we take a unique stance that it should be a cooperation between all the parties involved in what is considered traditional property management. And we vehemently oppose, you know, the means of confrontational things between the traditional landlord-tenant type of adversarial relationship. And instead, we take the stance that we are there to listen, to serve, and to guide. And those are our three touch points, if you will, of how we come to having that professional relationship with the renters. We don't call them tenants. We call them renters or residents. And we continually speak that into existence through building our brand. And we've been very strategic in how we built our brand, because we wanted to attract the correct kind of people. There are no perfect humans, right? We're all human. So I'm not looking for perfect. I'm looking for people on the contractor side to take care of the units, and on the renter side to live and pay the rent in the units. We look at them all as being members of the same team on the same side of the table, and being able to reach a common goal in which we work together. So that's our overall philosophy through which we filter all the things that we do that's considered property management, and we put that into three categories. We call it renter care, unit care, and then, of course, bookkeeping. Those three things are the, if you will, the trifecta of how we go about structuring a property management system that is easy, it's fast, and it really turns a lot of the traditions on its head in terms of how we work with our people and our expectations that they have of us and we have of them. So it's very much we're on the same side of the table. However, we also are very strict and have very high standards. Mm-hmm. So that is in alignment with our brand. There's no surprises. We make everything very clear. But that provides the ease, and it's the speed of trust. That's what saves so much time, Vina. It's so much easier to come at it with that kind of vision.
And it's so rare that folks who are, you know, the independent real estate investors investor types even think about what is my vision for how this is going to be.
Right.
And how am I going to convey that to the people I work with so that we can all meet that together? It's, you know, for a lot of people, you know, they'll say, oh, I've got rentals, I've got investment properties, I've got a rental business. But what they in fact have is a hobby that they kind of run ad hoc. Well, what's this next conversation with the tenant going to be like? I don't know. What day is it? What kind of mood am I in? This is good stuff. I have way more questions for you, Elizabeth. We also have some folks on the phone who have questions for you. Let's go to line two, Tony in Columbus. Tony, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Tony and Angie.
Hi, Tony and Angie. What's your question?
We're really enjoying this interview, and our question is, what are the top three mistakes you see new landlords make when starting out with rentals, and how do you recommend avoiding them?
Good question. Top three mistakes new rental owners make, and how to avoid them.
That's a great question, and I will be completely honest. We made a lot of mistakes when we first got started, but we were very grateful to have a longtime real estate investor and housing provider live just two doors down from us. And he took us under his wing. He gave us a copy of his lease. He taught us how to screen renters, and all of this just for free, and mainly because I think he wanted to have pity on us, you know, make sure that we would continue on the right path. And I still use the things that he taught us to this day. We still own that duplex, and he still lives two doors down, and we tell him how grateful we are that he put us on the right path. So the number one mistake that I see new landlords or housing providers doing is not seeking mentorship and help. In the beginning stages, they wait until something bad happens and they have a trashed unit and have lost money or worse, and they feel like then they seek help, when instead, if they would have been open and teachable from the gate, then that would have averted so much heartache and expense. So mistake number one is not seeking mentorship right from the gate. And mistake number two is that I believe people, like you said, Vina, don't start with the right vision, but also the right heart. I see a lot of new investors come in and are interested, of course, in creating all the benefits of real estate. And there are many long-term, you know, legacy wealth. They're interested in residual income and parking capital and real assets, all of those things are important. But I see a lot of new investors come to it from what can they get out of people. And if you start out that way, you're going to end up in the wrong spot for your business. If you come with a heart to serve, how can I serve this neighborhood? How can I have this house become an asset, not just to me, but to the entire neighborhood that this has not been an asset for, right? Maybe it's been ridden with crime or just deteriorating before their eyes. How can we serve people? And having the right heart along with having strict standards is definitely something that we had to learn over time. We made the mistake, we do something right, and then we learn how to do it right, you know, through our mentors and through trial and error. But that's mistake number two that I see. And number three, I would say new investors don't know how to run their numbers correctly. And I have to do a big shout out to Vina on this one, because Vina, you probably don't even remember this, but running numbers and stress testing the property has saved our keister more times than I can count.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell new investors, make sure you run your numbers correctly. Do not lie to yourself. The 11th commandment is thou shalt not fool thyself, right? The numbers, you can put them a bunch of different ways, but for us, we have to say, does this property work after PITI, which is principal, interest, taxes, and insurance? Make sure that it's not just what you're paying this year, but that number should include 15%, because it's going to go up at least that every year in taxes and insurance, maybe even more, some depending on your locality. Then it also has to take care of big expenses, little expenses, turning the unit. And then for us, in order to protect, obviously, grocery money we don't mess around with, our properties have to pay income tax. So it has to put its big kid pants on and pay federal, state, local, and school district tax. After that, it still cash flows. It is still producing what we need. Then it is truly the right deal for us. And that may sound like a lot. And don't be intimidated by it, because there's very simple calculations. It's really just adding and subtracting. But those are the mistakes that new investors make, that if you can master those three things, you're going to have a solid financial foundation to start your business upon.
Mm-hmm. And let me add to the run the numbers right thing. Don't run the numbers right according to what somebody on YouTube told you.
Yes.
The rules of thumb about, oh, just pay 100 times the monthly gross rent, and it costs $30 a square foot to rehab a rental property. A lot of those rules of thumb are getting people in huge trouble right now. That worked a lot better in 2021 when interest rates were 3% and rents were going up 10% a year. And so were house prices. So even if you made a big mistake, you could sell the property the next year for 20% more than you paid for it. Doesn't work so well in a market that's kind of, you know, prices aren't going up so fast. Rents are certainly not going up anything close to what they were before. In fact, they're not beating inflation in terms of their annual increase right now. So, get real numbers from a real investor when you're figuring that out. Tony, you guys are going to be at the National Summit this year, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so Elizabeth is teaching an all-day class on Thursday.
Wow.
No way.
So 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and I don't have the title in front of me, but it's basically how to find, evaluate, finance, manage, and scale a rental portfolio.
That's incredible. I've seen Elizabeth speak before, and you two ladies are two of my favorite instructors, and you both are methodical and very direct. So we're excited to be at that event, and look forward to it.
Okay, good thing, because yeah, that's like you're not going to see an all day like this probably ever again anywhere. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we will go to Jonathan and Sharon and also take your calls or emails at 877-772-9658 or vinoradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones-Cox, talking today to Elizabeth Enright Phillips about how she manages lots of properties and doesn't get all stressed out about it. Doesn't take up that much time. There's not, like, by-the-seat-of-the-pants decisions to make. As I mentioned to Tony, she's doing an all-day workshop at the National Real Estate Investing Summit, which is October 30th through November 2nd here in Cincinnati. She's on Thursday, so her all day would be on Thursday. So you need to come in on Wednesday and come to the Wednesday night welcome party that's going to be sponsored by Equity Trust Company, and then go to Elizabeth's all day Thursday class. The class is included as part of your ticket to the main conference. And we've got this deal going on right now where if you will pledge $247 to WMKV, you get that ticket, plus you get a 6-hour How to Do Subject Twos Right class that comes with a manual, forms, documents, audio, video. You know, it's like a really complete Subject Two class, and it's going to teach you how to do it right, not the dumb way I sometimes see people talking about on social media that's going to get people in trouble. So to get that deal, Aria only donates about 30 tickets a year to the station for that. And I know last week we were down at 25. I don't know what's happened since then. I suspect we probably have somewhere between 15 and 20 of those tickets left. You should probably just go get it. It's wmkvfm.org. And then scroll to the bottom of the page and click the thing that says National Real Estate Summit. It'll give you more information about the event. There are 34 other speakers there other than Elizabeth. But the best thing about it is the caliber of people that it attracts. A lot of really great experienced investors who are there to like all grow together and do business together. It's a wonderful thing. And you can feel wonderful about supporting public radio on WMKV. WMKVFM.org. Let's go to the phones and talk to Jonathan on line one in Miami. Jonathan, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hey, Vina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So this real simple question is, you know, you never rented before and then you become a landlord. I mean, what went through your mind? What was going on? How did you
what
get
What was the
started?
Matter with you, Elizabeth?
How did you do it? How did you start? I mean, I got that the guy helped you, but I mean, like, you know, what were you struggling with? What were you looking for? How were you approaching it?
So originally, we treated it like a business because my background was working in insurance with investors. So I didn't know much, but I did know we needed to have an actual lease. We needed to have like a standard procedure for what if the, you know, the return of the security deposit, what did the Ohio Revised Code say? We at least had those pieces of the puzzle, and then we read everything in sight. Of course, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad and then went on from there to all the real estate books that I could possibly get my hands on about property management, and I would pick and choose the things. We took a lot of courses through OREA. We hired our own coach and had met him in person at the National Summit. Big shout out for that. Everything Vina is saying is true and not at all in any way embellished, because it was pivotal for us to be around other investors who understood, who were doing the same kind of things and dealing with the same issues, and I got to see the things that I didn't want, the adversarial relationship with our renters, and I learned and developed what we call our renter training system. So there are 5 types of renters. We have a new renter that we are working on training and bringing them into how we do things in our business. It's ridiculous and impractical to expect somebody right off the bat to move into a new house and not understand how you want them to function unless you teach them or tell them or have a system for onboarding them to understanding what is the expectation here. So we developed a renter training program for new renters, current renters, alumni renters is what we call folks who move on from us. And then we also had inherited renters, and we learned quite a bit from that experience of purchasing homes, and we still do this, with the renter still in place from the previous owner. And that comes with its own set of challenges. And then we also have the 5th one is the uncooperative. So that's how we started to see patterns. And as a new investor, We learned a lot in our first duplex experience, and we each time built upon what is it that went right and what was it that was a challenge. And we very early on knew we needed to build our dream team. We needed to have the right professionals in the seats of tasks, for example, like an attorney, a title company, insurance agent, those type of professionals that would be in our corner and helping us navigate their respective realms, but that we had written down the process of lease signing, security deposit return, what to do with the request to remedy, all of those things, just charting that out. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, obviously. We learned a lot. But we had to do it in a way that was authentic for us and matched our market, our laws in Ohio, and was the correct procedure to get the rate of return that we wanted, which was definitely higher than most. So we definitely wanted to see about 30% of rent received as an owner draw. So after taxes, after all of those things, we want between 25 and 30% to be what we actually get to keep. So in order to do that and have it be easy, we had to have the right dream team, is what we call them, to be able to make that happen. And I would add, we also very early on had help. So we started an internship program. We also have virtual assistants that help us. Currently, I have anywhere from 2 to 5 VAs, and the same, we have anywhere from 1 to 3 interns at any given point, so that I'm not doing it all myself, and we also expect our renters and our contractors to be team players. So that's kind of the progression. We started small, we made adjustments, we learned, and we were thinking that we really needed to be able to give our attention to the things that, like our family, and we love to travel. We wanted to be able to remote manage from anywhere. And so from very early on, we set the technology in place and the people. You can automate with tech or people in place so that we could. For example, we went to Spain. My husband competes in triathlons. He wanted to go to Spain to compete and represent Team USA, and we self-managed. So we wanted to be able to take care of anything and have everything run smoothly, even from the other side of the world. And it is possible.
Mm-hmm. So, Jonathan, if I don't know if you heard this, but the word that kept popping into my mind, like everything she was saying about every step she was taking, is she did this with a lot of intentionality. It wasn't a let's see how this works out kind of thing. It was a let's take each step as best we know how and then use that step to see what we could have done better and take the next step and take the next step. And it was all very, very like laser focused, intentional.
Was there a long time between between buying the place and then reading the books and getting these people, or was that done prior?
So it was all at once, actually. So I was working as an insurance agent at the agency level, support staff, and writing policies, working with agents every day. And so I started reading Robert Kiyosaki, of course, and whatever real estate books that I could get my hands on. And then we found the duplex and continued that education. So it was all at once, all the time. Just full immersion was the best way for us to do that. For me personally, I had to be all in, and really I didn't read anything else for quite a while because I still do. Continuing education is just so key. And being in the real estate realms of networking and community, that is the part that took a lot longer time. We didn't find our tribe with the Corey and Aurea for quite a while. And when we did, it was like all the lights went on. We found our people, right? So I would say if there's one thing that I recommend early on, I wish we would have done differently, is find our tribe sooner. And you know, being able to have people that you can bounce ideas off of is really important in addition to reading. It's great to have tech tools and books. You have ChatGPT and AI that can talk to you all day long, but there is no replacement for a real-life human who has done real-life acquisitions or management of properties, who can speak to you in real time about your specific situation. There's absolutely no substitute for community. I cannot emphasize that
enough.
Let me add,
everything you just said is absolutely true. I can't tell you how many times we've been on meetings and stopped somebody from buying a very bad deal because they didn't know how to do the math or said, hey, good deal, but you need to restructure the financing like this for it to actually work, you know, that sort of thing. But it also, it can't just be like a group of people. It has to be a group of people that actually cares whether you succeed or not. Because I see a lot of people going to social media, general pages and things, and asking questions and getting answers that I feel like the person didn't even understand the question. You know, they don't really care to understand the question. It's got to be people who have your interests at heart.
Yes, and preferably near or close by to the market where you invest in. There's so many factors, and AI hallucinates. And I've caught it even on major mistakes, and I tested it and said, "You're wrong," you know, to ChatGPT. And it says, "Yes, you're right. I was wrong. I'm sorry." And it's very polite, but it is a very dangerous tool when used in ways that are incorrect. Really, real-life people and knowing your personality, knowing your strengths, that can only come from true human relationships. And this business can be a lot of fun. It can be an amazing experience to have fun and bring joy and community impact and profits. And it's so broad in the benefit that it can provide to people that it really should be shared. And that's why we chose the hybrid model, because we really enjoy sharing this with our interns, with our virtual assistants. We have one that is in the U.S. and one that is in the Philippines. My sister-in-law is in the Philippines, and so we have a strong connection to that particular country. And we have one Filipino VA and one that is in the U.S. And then we also have interns that stay with us sometimes throughout the year and sometimes just in the summer. But sharing that joy with another human being is really important to not get burnt out and to be able to spread the tasks, yes, but to also be able to enjoy it and have fun together doing this business.
Okay.
Thank you
for your call, Jonathan. We need to take one more quick break. When we come back, we will talk to Sharon, and maybe I'll even get one of my other questions in as well. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Talking today to Elizabeth Enright Phillips, who is one of the 35 or so faculty members at the 2025 National Real Estate Investing Summit, which all of you should be attending if you are at all serious about making real estate a big part of your income and finances. There's a special deal for Real Life Real Estate listeners. I'm not going to tell you about it again. Go to wmkvfm.org, scroll down to the bottom of the page, click the thing that says National Real Estate Investing Summit, and you will find out all about it. And if you're smart, you will take advantage of it. Let's go to Sharon, who maybe has patiently been waiting on line three since practically the beginning of the show. Sharon, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hi, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're good, Sharon. How are you?
Good. Hey, first thing I want to say, what I thought was interesting, excuse me, was when she mentioned, Mrs. Phillips, the training for renters. I thought that was like a very big key that I missed, and a lot of people I think missed in rentals, is you have to train the people what to do, rather than just give them the keys and say, oh, good luck. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So I thought that was very smart on her part. Right. And then my question was, I just wonder, since she homeschools six kids, did you say? That's amazing.
Yes.
So she's got to be good at time management there. So I just wondered if she also taught the real estate business to her kids, and I thought, what a wonderful start for them in business. So I just wondered if they had anything to do with the rentals, if she was teaching them, or if they just absorbed it by learning, listening and learning as she did it.
Yes. Yes, actually, all of the above. So, and I don't want to be incorrect in how I share about having my children involved. It is not an easy road. Mm-hmm. I would say having 40 mm-hmm. rentals is far easier than homeschooling 6 children. And they are wonderful children, obviously. I believe very firmly in their potential, and they're amazing. But it's definitely easier to manage the 40 rentals by far, hands down, not even a comparison. So we do integrate the business foundations and the things that we teach to our renters. Obviously, our children are hearing everything that we do, since my office is just mm-hmm. off of the dining room, right? They can hear it, and yeah. they're learning it. And our oldest is 21. She just graduated from Hondros oh. College with her real estate license. And she, when she graduated from high school, she said she didn't want to go to college traditionally, 4-year college. She wanted to buy a rental property. And so she bought her first single-family house when she was 18. Now she still lives at home, and she is looking for her next acquisition and is learning to self-manage, hybrid manage her own rental property. Our 18-year-old just graduated, and he is working on his first full renovation for a home that we just purchased off-market in July. So he is just finishing okay. up flooring and learning all of that. And the younger 4 also are learning different things through the real estate process. So it definitely is a family business, and it can be a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun together. We have my younger ones staging, photography. It really doesn't have to be a difficult or unpleasant experience to have long-term rentals. There's kind of a bad stigma that comes with it sometimes, depending on what circle you're in. And we really find that our children love seeing the houses and block by block how we've come to help restore our community. And they really understand the vision, and it really probably wouldn't be fair to share about it without telling why we ended up accelerating our portfolio, because we realized there were houses in our neighborhoods that had definitely been distressed and impacted by issues of addiction and drugs. And we know mm-hmm. that many people have that in their own family, and we did as well. So several years ago, mm-hmm. that my husband's brother died of an overdose of fentanyl on New Year's Day, and our children knew that their uncle was gone. And my husband said, we can get bitter or we can do something about it. And so he said, we're going to target drug houses. Now, we don't say that everyone should do that. Obviously, you need to be wise, and we don't recommend doing that on your first acquisition, right? Be wise about how you do things, but we do have that vision, and so we started to purchase specifically the worst houses on the block that were terrorizing the neighborhoods and putting pressure on slumlords to either come to our meetup, learn better processes and systems, or sell us the house. But what's happening right now cannot continue. And so we have done that block by block through our city. And our children have gotten to see that, and they've seen the neighbors come out and say, thank you. We were going to have to sell our house, you know, the older generation that didn't want to move. Mm-hmm. And they say, thank you. I can stay in my home now and be safe. And, you know, that's something that has a lot of value for us to be able to restore our hometown. So great question. Thank you for asking that.
Yes.
That's awesome. And then also I asked you, does your husband help work on stuff too, or – does he have another job besides this?
So that's a great question. He does have a passion project where he coaches at-risk youth with a coaching track at our local high school. So 6 months out of the year, he is a full-time track coach, and he does help with our rentals and our acquisitions and raising private money. And he is not the handyman by his own admission. He is not a contractor, but he does jump in and help where needed. And he does have the flexibility because of the financial foundation we have with long-term rentals. He can be able to dedicate that time to at-risk youth and to be able to coach track and field. And it's been an incredible opportunity and seeing those youth go a different way when maybe they could have been pulled into drugs or a bad crowd. Instead, they're excelling in athletics. So it does give us flexibility. But yes, I handle all the long-term rentals and we kind of split it up that way.
Yeah, thank you for those great questions, Sharon. And if you or anybody else is going, man, I wish I could get my kids actually interested in my real estate business or any business for that matter, you might want to check out the Youth Academy at the National Real Estate Summit. This year it's going a little bit of a different direction. It's going to be for kids junior high through high school age, and it's going to be a very good 2 days about like basic business skills, financial understanding, capitalism understanding, and you can find out more about that at nationalreisummit.com. Elizabeth, we are unfortunately out of time, but I am very much looking forward to having you have the chance to share the whole process from finding it to evaluating it to buying it to managing it to scaling it with our listeners who come to the National Real Estate Summit on October 30th through November 2nd here in Cincinnati. And listeners, also remember tonight is Mortgage and Note Help Night. If you it's free. You can come in and ask questions or listen to other people's questions. CincinnatiRIA.com to get your link. We will be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.